For the law appoints as high priests men in all their weakness, but the oath which came after the law appointed the Son, who has been made perfect forever. And now from Mark chapter 10, the story of blind Bartimaeus receiving his sight. Then they came to Jericho. As Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city, a blind man, Bartimaeus, which means son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." So they called to the blind man, "Cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you." Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked him. The blind man said, "Rabbi, I want to see." "Go," said Jesus, "your faith has healed you." Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Just before Joe talks to us about those passages, I'm just going to say a short prayer for her and us. Lord, we thank you for what you've given Joe to talk to us about today. I pray that you will be with her now as she speaks to us, and through your Holy Spirit, teach us new truths about you and about ourselves. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Joe.
Thank you, Charles, and good morning. To those who haven't met me before, I'm Jo. I'm a second year ordinand training at Trinity College. And I think I've met some of you before at the 8 o'clock and on Zoom. But it's lovely to be able to join you today. So I wonder, as you're sitting here this morning, if I asked you the question, what do you need? What would be your answer? I imagine if we could hear each other's thoughts, we might hear some of the following replies. I need a cup of coffee or tea. I need more sleep. I need to book my COVID booster. Or perhaps for some people, I need to figure this out. I need to hear from God. I need comfort. Even I need a miracle. Well, our two readings today share this common theme of need. In the gospel reading, which we heard read Mark 10, Jesus meets with blind Bartimaeus, and he meets his most pressing need. He meets his need for sight, and as he does so, Jesus also meets his need spiritually and socially, restoring him. Then in Hebrews 7, the writer describes Jesus as a high priest who truly meets our need. Well, on reflecting on this theme of need, it struck me that there are some different reactions we can have when thinking about needs. First of all, sometimes we might find it difficult to admit that we have needs at all. When life is going well and things are comfortable, we can feel, well, I don't really need for anything at the moment. And sometimes, even for those of us who've had faith for many years, it can get to a point where perhaps we don't even think about our need for God as much as we once did. Secondly, for some of us, we may know we have needs, but we're not very good at admitting it. And I know this is true for me. I'm not very good at asking for help, even when I need help. Society around us is very keen to give the idea that we must be independent, that we must have things sorted out for ourselves. And so it's not always easy to ask for our needs to be met. Thirdly, though, for some of us thinking of need, we might think about all the different worries that we have around us, the day-to-day needs that take our attention so much of the time. I think Jesus must have known about this because in one of the other Gospels, Matthew, he says, "Do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear?' The pagans run after these things, but your heavenly Father knows you need them." In today's world of media and advertising, we are bombarded with images telling us what we need. I don't know if any of you are on social media, but I am on Facebook, and it's always telling me that I need things through clever little adverts that are trying to change my life. So recently, it's been telling me I need a new pillow, which is going to revolutionize my sleep. And it's also been telling me about a vitamin blend, which is going to ensure that I no longer need coffee and I'm going to be full of beans, and all sorts of other things. And I'm sure some of you have had similar. Well, I think this consumer culture that's all around us, it can impact us more deeply than we know. And sometimes all of our worries and needs can become a list of things we bring to God, asking every day, "I need this, I need this," without really recognizing the deepest and greatest need of all. And that's what I want us to look at today, the idea of our most profound need. And we find this expressed in the Hebrew passage through the concept of Jesus as a high priest. So you may want to have that open in front of you, Hebrews 7. So I'm going to refer to some of the verses. It can be tricky for us to get our minds around this idea of Jesus as a high priest, because the writer to the Hebrews has designed what he has said for a Jewish audience. And so it's hard for us to get into that mindset. But we're going to spend a few minutes just thinking about the context so that we can understand more. So the Jews had a system for dealing with sin. You can read about it in Leviticus. And I'm not going to read all of that to you now, but you can go to chapter 3 and see for yourselves that the Jews had a detailed system for dealing with sin. They had a system that dealt with intentional and unintentional sin, individual and community wrongdoing. Offerings for sin would be made by priests in the temple every day throughout the year. But once a year, the whole community would come together on a day known as the Day of Atonement, or Yom Kippur. And on this day, the high priest had a particular role. The high priest was to enter the most holy place in the temple, the place reserved for the presence of God. And there he would make sacrifice, first for his own sins, and then for the sins of the whole community. This was like a yearly ritual for dealing with the uncleanness, the failings, and the brokenness of the community. It was like a chance to clear accounts with God once a year. It involved this one human representative going into the Holy of Holies, right into God's presence on behalf of everyone else. Well, in our reading, the writer to the Hebrews points out that this system was fundamentally flawed. For starters, in verse 23, he writes, There have been many of those priests since death prevented them from continuing in office. In other words, each high priest was just a human being, naturally limited by death. So when one high priest died, naturally another had to be appointed. Secondly, if you look down into verse 27, we see that the high priest had to offer sacrifices day after day, not only for the people, but also for himself. Because the priests who offered the sacrifices were themselves broken human beings, they had their own failings to deal with. As a result, no sacrifice was ever truly enough. Instead, the system went on and on, day after day, year after year, never reaching a point of completion. So all of this goes to show that the system did not truly answer the problem. In contrast, the writer to the Hebrews argues that Jesus is the ultimate high priest for two reasons. He's both permanent and perfect. Unlike the priests of the Jewish system, we read in verse 24 that Jesus lives forever. And that means he will never need to be replaced. Unlike the priests of the Jewish system, Jesus is and was without sin. And so we read in verse 27 that he does not need to offer sacrifices day after day, because he has already sacrificed for the people's sins once and for all when he offered himself. Because of these things, the writer can confidently claim that Jesus truly meets our need. Rather than sacrificing animals or incense, as the high priest would have done, Jesus offered himself, a sacrifice to end all sacrifices. So, why do we need this sacrifice? If we're honest, this may feel a little alien to us, the language of high priests and sacrifice. Our own culture finds it increasingly difficult to talk about sin. It's often presented, again in the media, as something quite trivial, really. Just a little bit naughty. Maybe having a second helping of pudding or an extra glass of wine when we really know we shouldn't. But of course, it is more serious than that. Now, I've been reading this book, I didn't bring it on Sunday, but I'm bringing it today, called Unapologetic. It's written by Francis Spufford, who also writes on all sorts of other topics. And he very helpfully, I think, uses the idea, he responds to this idea of sin in this way. He calls it the human propensity to mess up. He actually uses a stronger word than mess, and I'm not going to use that word here because, for obvious reasons, it could cause offence. But I say that because I understand why he chooses to use strong language. We're not talking just about having second helpings of dessert. Sin is actually a serious problem. And it's serious for us all. He writes that it is this: our active inclination to break stuff. Stuff here, including moods, promises, relationships we care about, our own well-being, and the well-being of others. So as humans, our most profound need is for a permanent solution to this problem, and its consequences for us and our world. Now, it may sound a little bleak, but when it comes to this greatest need, we're all in the same boat. I found it interesting that looking in the book of Leviticus, there is a very honest recognition that we will all sin or mess up at some point, often without meaning to, but sometimes, if we're honest, knowingly too, for a multitude of reasons. That Day of Atonement that the Jews held so in such high esteem, it recognized that the whole community gets caught up in failing each other and in failing God. Perhaps this is why Spofford also calls sin the crack in everything. It's the brokenness that runs through my heart, through our hearts, through society, our institutions, and our world. Whatever comes to mind when we think of sin, it doesn't take much to look around and to know that the world needs mending. It sounds like bad news until we realize that into this bad news, into this world of broken promises, of selfish motives, of relationship breakups, and pollution, and refugees, and regrets, into all this mess comes Jesus, the ultimate high priest, to set things right permanently, and, as the writer in the Hebrews says, to pray for us forever. Jesus is human, just like us. He knows about tiredness and grief and friendship and family arguments. He knows about hunger and fun and village gossip and being lied about. But, as the writer to the Hebrews tells us, he is also the one who is holy, blameless, pure, set apart from sinners, exalted above the heavens. And because of that, he is the one who truly meets our need. He is the Savior, the solution, someone to remove the crack in everything and to usher us back in to the presence of God. How then can we respond this morning? I think there's three things that came to mind as I was preparing. And firstly, we can ask. If we cast our minds back to Mark's gospel, we see blind Bartimaeus calling out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus doesn't ignore him or silence him like the crowds are trying to do. He stops and listens and restores him. No matter how long we have held our faith, whether a day or 1,000 days, every day presents a fresh opportunity to call on God's mercy. And whether we are calling out for the first time or for the millionth time, we can be assured that he will respond with grace and compassion. He responds as our high priest, who is able to meet our most profound need. So ask, and then secondly, receive. Jesus' offering of himself as high priest on our behalf is a precious gift to be received and treasured. And like all gifts, to be fully enjoyed and appreciated, it needs to be unwrapped. This gift once we unpack it, releases us from guilt and it assures us of free access into God's presence. There's a song I've been listening to in the last week, and some of the words go like this. Teach me today, I still need saving. Show me the measure of your grace. And I think as we understand the extent of our need, we begin to experience the extent of his grace. So perhaps this morning you may be struggling to receive that grace for yourself. Or perhaps for some of us here, the consequences of the world's sin weigh heavy on us, for our family, for our world. If you have a particular need that you would like prayer for, then I know there are willing people who would pray with you and pray for you throughout this week. And you can ask perhaps over coffee or over lunch. So ask, receive, and finally follow. In response to his cries for mercy, Jesus restores Bartimaeus' sight. And if you look at the last verse of that passage, it says this. Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. And that stood out to me. It seems to suggest that when our need is met, the obvious and natural response is to follow the one who met it. So when we have experienced Jesus as the solution to our most profound need, it makes sense that we follow him. We follow him out from here and into our week and into our lives, reorienting ourselves in his direction. I loved that hymn that we sung earlier, and I just thought it's song two, that the words in the first verse were also such a wonderful response. So I'm just going to read them now to close. My heart is filled with thankfulness to him who bore my pain, who plumbed the depths of my disgrace and gave me life again, who crushed my curse of sinfulness and clothed me in his light and wrote his law of righteousness with power upon my heart. And it finishes, so I will give my life, my all, to love and follow him. Amen.